Hello again out there in Birdland. It's Anson Tebbets along with
Chip Darmstadt.
Your weekend edition of For the Birds. It is definitely March. We've turned the calendar, and here we are. We had some, I would have to say, some cold weather earlier this week. It sort of, the wind was incredible in the middle of the week.
March 1st really stuck out for me. You flip the calendar and like March 1st was the dragon. It was blowing and blustery and windswept snow everywhere. Pretty dramatic.
Right. But there are hints. The sun is definitely, getting up earlier and going to bed a little bit later. And we're seeing some of those signs of spring, and, you know, we're on the cusp of sugaring, and that sort of people are out in the woods and walking, and we're hearing some of those birds that we haven't heard for a while.
Yeah, I was so excited. Actually, it was on March 1st as well that I heard my first brown creeper of the season. That's a bird we've talked about a lot over the years. I just love that bird and love hearing that first creeper song of the late winter, early spring.
Yeah, the brown creeper is a neat bird. So it's one of those that if you get a chance to see it, usually winding its way around a tree is I guess, the best way to describe it.
Yeah, totally. They wind their way up, and it's always up. They really can't. The way they're built, they can't go down the trunk like a nuthatch can. Brown creepers can really only, go up the trunk of a tree straight up. And they have a couple of adaptations for that. They have really, pretty big feet with long toenails and a tail that's kind of like a rudder that they can use to prop up against the tree. And as they wind their way up, they're looking for egg sacs, spiders hidden in the crevices of the bark, insects. And they have the perfect beak for finding and taking out these little morsels, because it's just this short, slender, curved beak they use to probe in the bark crevices. It's just so perfectly adapted to its habitat.
Yeah, when you think about that, you think of the nuthatch, which can go down and around and everywhere. But when you look closely, you're absolutely right. The brown creeper sort of, it's kind of like a barber's pole, I'm not sure if the barber's pole goes up or down, but it's sort of in that winding way up through.
And the good news is creepers can fly, so they don't all get to the top of the tree and get stuck there.
Right. Absolutely. We don't have to call
the... It would be a bummer if all the creepers crept up to the top of the tree and then they couldn't get down, and we'd have a lot of creepers at the top of the tree.
We're going to have to call the fire department every day.
Creeper rescue. And I love the name, too. Brown creeper. It's just, if you were not a birder or didn't know anything about birds and someone said, "I saw a brown creeper," you'd think they were making it up.
Yeah.
It's such a funny name.
And it's, it does look like... the bark of a maple tree when you think about it. Sometimes it's very difficult to see. And occasionally you'll hear one, though, right? But it's very high-pitched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're super camouflaged. This mottled brown and beige pattern on the back. And their belly is white in their throat. But you don't really see that because that part is up against the tree. So they're really well camouflaged, hard to see. And yeah, there's the sounds they make. So they do that, like they do a call that's a lot like a kinglet. And whenever I hear that, I have a hard time actually finding the bird. And then they have their beautiful song, this kind of warble, this rolling warble that is, it's really lovely. And even though it's kind of this high pitched sound, it really carries, through the woods. So it's this time of year when they start singing, and that's the way you often find a brown creeper, unless you luck out and happen to see one on a tree, you listen for their song.
We've been talking about what a wonderful season it's been for some of the finches that came down from Canada and visited us. We had lots of evening grosbeaks this year. We had siskins and redpoles. But now we're kind of thinking some of those are going to start heading north, right?
Yeah, we're getting near the end of winter finch season. And some of the birds, including pine grosbeak, yeah, they're already starting to move north, apparently. By the end of February, they start heading north. By the middle of March, they may be mostly gone from Vermont. They may linger. Some may linger later in the month, maybe even into early April. But that's the first winter finch, the pine grosbeak, that heads north. They nest up in the boreal parts of Canada, even northern Maine. And so this is the time to get out and see one if you haven't seen one yet. Find the nearest crab apple. They love ornamental crab apples and other fruiting trees this time of year. And they're usually in flocks, and they're super accommodating. If you find a flock, they appear to be so tame, so you can get really nice close looks at them, and they don't mind at all.
Yeah, the still seeing occasionally, haven't seen the pine grosbeaks in a while, but have been seeing evening grosbeaks and lots of red poles this year for sure.
Yeah, this has been the winter of the red pole, and from what I've heard from the Finch Research Network and elsewhere, is that this has been the best red pole year in about 10 years. We haven't had an invasion, an eruption like this in 10 years. So it's been quite a treat. And as we've talked about on previous shows, hoary red pole has been here in small numbers as well, with the common red pole coming to feeders, weedy fields. And they're going to start heading north as well. By the middle of the month, they'll start moving probably from the southern part of their range. And then, you know, I don't know, first part of April, first 2 weeks of April, we'll start noticing fewer and fewer of them here in Vermont. And yeah, by mid-April, end of April, they'll mostly be gone. You always get some lingering birds, but most of those birds will be heading north so they can be on territory and start their nesting season.
Good stuff. Prior to the break, we were talking about the brown creeper, and I did find the song. So I'm going to see if we can listen to the song of the brown creeper. Hopefully it will come through, but it's going to be kind of a high, I think it's going to be kind of a high pitch. So let's see if we can pull it up here. Pull it up here. Hear a little bit there. Yeah, really high pitch there, but kind of warbly though.
Yeah, it's a really lovely sound, and it's pretty constant, too. You know, a lot of birds, their song, they have multiple songs, and they may cycle through their song repertoire, but brown creeper, the song is always consistent, always the kind of rolling warble, very high-pitched. And if you hear one, you're hearing a male on territory, then they may nest near you come spring, summer. And I've always wanted to find a nest, Anson. They tuck them up again under the bark of a dying tree, so they, we can't see them because they're hidden by the bark. But if you're lucky, you might see one going into its nest site. That'd be the only way to find it.
Yeah, that would be a neat project. So to do that. So I guess we can talk about it next week. But the owls are trying to make new owls, right? We're hearing that's that time of year. And the ravens, I can see the ravens starting to gather sticks and so forth.
Yeah. Nesting season has begun. It's amazing. It's what I love about birds and birding is spring starts early if you're into birds.
Good stuff. All right, we've got to fly out of here. Chip and Anson, your weekend edition. Enjoy March. Hopefully it'll warm up a little bit more and the sap will flow and we can get some new maple syrup. It sounds like a good plan for the coming days and weeks. Got to fly. I'm Anson Tebbets.
I'm Chip Darmstadt.
Over the birds.